So just this past week, we celebrated the feast of our patron saint, Saint John Bosco. And I was so happy to see how many of you set aside your plans for that evening to come and celebrate our great patron. He is a saint that we should have a special devotion to because he's the patron of our parish. And certainly he is looking down on us from heaven right now. And he sees us here honoring him by our presence in this church, especially those of you who came on his feast day. He's a very interesting saint because, unlike most saints, he is a man of modern times. He lived in the 19th century. He died in 1888. In times that were very similar to ours, with secular governments becoming the norm at the beginning of the loss of faith in Europe and the world. He lived in a large city in Italy, in Turin, where he ran an orphanage and a school for boys, mostly of high school age. And his main purpose in running this institution was not just to educate them, but most of all, to train them in the practice of virtue and to teach them their faith and to save them from being corrupted by evil companions. Now, even though he was a man of practically of our own era, nevertheless, he was a man blessed by God with an extraordinary power of miracles and prophecy. I think one of the most interesting features of his life is that he was given the power of having prophetic dreams that would warn him about problems in his orphanage or about events in the future of his order, of the Salesians, or of the world in general. In fact, one of the greatest sources that we have for his dreams is a priest of his order who wrote a 20-volume biography of his life. In fact, even during the lifetime of St. John Bosco, his prophetic dreams were so famous that one day he had a personal meeting with Pope Pius IX. And Pope Pius IX asked him to write down these dreams so they would be preserved for posterity, because they were so instructive and so important. And of course, St. John Bosco was a saint, and he said that he would do that. But then, of course, things happened, and he wasn't able to get around to it. And 9 years later, he happened to have another audience with Pius IX. And Pius IX said, "Did you write down all of your dreams like I asked you?" And St. John Bosco said, "Your Holiness, I'm really sorry. I've been incredibly busy over the last 9 years, and I didn't have the time." And he most likely didn't understand that it was really a command, or didn't understand the urgency of this command. But Pius IX said, "Well, whatever you're doing instead of this, just cancel it and write down your dreams instead." So St. John Bosco was a saint, and he did exactly that. Most of these dreams are not translated into English, but there is an interesting book that has a few of them that's in print. It's called The Dreams, Visions, and Prophecies of St. John Bosco, which makes for very interesting reading. One recurring type of dream that St. John Bosco would get would be dreams that would warn him of an impending death for one of his students. And usually he would tell the boys when this would happen. He would meet to say night prayers every night, and sometimes he would tell them if he had had a dream or a prophecy the night before. In one dream, it was the night of December 20th, 1862, St. John Bosco told them that the following night, he said, "By Christmas, one of us will go to heaven." And everyone was very surprised by this because nobody was sick, but they knew that it was going to happen because they had seen this happen many times. And a few days later, on December 23rd, one of the boys became very sick and he had to go to bed. And so one of the priests at this orphanage was going to sit up with him all night. But St. John Bosco said, he'll be fine until 2 o'clock this morning. But at that point, he's going to need a priest. So you might as well just go to bed and have someone wake you up at 2. And sure enough, the priest went to see him at 2 o'clock and gave him the last sacraments. And he watched him die a happy death. There are a lot of stories like that. They're not all quite that benign. There's another very interesting one, that there was a boy in his school who was very virtuous until he came under the influence of a friend of his who was very evil. And he started to follow his friend's bad example. St. John Bosco saw this and he was very concerned and he tried to talk to this boy. But the boy wouldn't talk to him. He kept avoiding him. But one day, St. John Bosco managed to corner him in the hallway, and he said, why do you keep avoiding me? I want to help you. You should make a good confession as soon as possible. The boy said nothing, and St. John Bosco said, if you refuse, there will come a time when you will want me, but I will not be there. And that same night, St. John Bosco told all the boys at their meeting for night prayers that one of them was going to die soon and that he needed to go to confession. But he kept avoiding St. John Bosco. But one day, as he said, he would call out for him, but St. John Bosco would not be there. But he said that they should all pray for this boy so that he would repent before it was too late. Well, nobody knew who he was talking about except this boy himself that had had this conversation with him earlier in the day. But he was in denial about it. He wouldn't think about it. And he continued in his sins. This went on for a while until one day one of St. John Bosco's rich benefactors asked him to come out to her country estate and hold a special devotion, which is called the 40 Hours Devotion. St. John Bosco told her that he couldn't come because he knew that he had this situation going on with this boy. But she said, matter-of-factly, that she would not be writing him any more checks unless he dropped whatever it was that he was doing and went out to her place and celebrated the 40 Hours Devotion. Well, St. John Bosco didn't want to leave, but he couldn't figure out a way out of it. So he went and he asked the school doctor if anybody was sick. The doctor said no, everyone was healthy. So he said, I will be gone for only 3 days, and he headed out. As soon as St. John Bosco left, this sinful boy got a letter from a friend of his. Not the bad friend. He got a letter from a different friend who was actually a seminarian. And he wrote to him in this letter as a joke. He said, I haven't heard from you for a while. In fact, it's been so long that I'm starting to wonder if you're even still alive anymore. If you're alive, can you please write back? Sincerely yours. We've probably all written things like this in our letters to our friends. And so this boy got this letter and he said, I think I'll write back and tell him that I'm dead, just as a joke. And everyone who heard him say this thought it was extremely funny. And so he wrote that letter saying, no, I'm dead, sorry. That's why you haven't heard anything. And he dropped it in the mailbox. Unfortunately, that evening he became very, very sick. And he went to bed with terrible pain in his stomach, and his throat began to swell up. And the doctor came and looked at him, and he saw that he was very close to death. Remember that this was in the middle of the 19th century, and they didn't have the powerful medicines that we have now. It was much easier to die from sicknesses that are relatively common. So the boy was absolutely terrified at hearing this, and he asked if he could see St. John Bosco, whom he had been avoiding for so long. But St. John Bosco had left the day before. He was out of town. It was a long distance away, and Of course, one of the other priests came to see him, but the boy said he wanted to see the saint. He wanted him to be with him in his last moments, and he was absolutely filled with grief that he was going to die without ever seeing this great saint again. But fortunately, he went to confession, and he repented sincerely of his sins, and he died in peace. He died in the wee hours of the morning, and that same day, his friend at the seminary got the letter that he had written that said, "I am dead." And, of course, it was true, and that's a sounds like a campfire story, but it really is true. But not all of his dreams were as simple and clear as these. Some were very metaphorical and mysterious, in which he would see himself and his boys, for example, in a valley fighting with different types of animals, and each animal would represent a different type of vice, like one of the seven capital sins, and they would fight them with swords or different types of weapons, and the weapons would have different labels on them that would be like the rosary or Holy Communion or things like that. And he would see each of the boys in his school, in his dream, and he could see which ones were in sanctifying grace and which ones weren't. And the ones that were in the state of sin would sometimes have the name of their sin written on their forehead, or he would see which animal representing which vice was attacking him. And then many times, after he would tell the boys these dreams, he would say that he remembered what was going on with each one that he had seen, and he would talk to them privately about the state of their soul and tell them what God had shown them about them in his dream. There's another dream in which he relates a very interesting conversation that he had in one of these dreams with a bishop of Italy that he had known personally, who had died 2 years before. In this dream, he ran into this bishop again in a very beautiful place that represented heaven. And as soon as St. John Bosco realized that he was in a dream and he was talking to someone from the other side, of course, he had a lot of questions he wanted to ask him. First of all, he asked him if he was saved. And the bishop told him that he was in purgatory. So St. John Bosco asked him how long he was going to be there. And in answer, the bishop handed him a piece of paper, and he said that the answer was on that paper. Well, St. John Bosco looked at the piece of paper, and he saw that it was blank. And he said, "There's nothing on here." And the bishop said, "No, look at it again." And he looked again, and it was still blank. And so the bishop took the paper back, and he said, "Well, you were looking at it upside down." And he turned it over and gave it back, and when St. John Bosco looked at it, there was a number 2 written on the paper. And the bishop explained that the reason St. John Bosco had to turn it upside down to read it was because God's judgments are so different from the world's. What man believes to be wisdom is foolishness in the eyes of God. That sort of thing comes up a lot in these dreams that he had. He is given sort of cryptic messages like this to show how much God is in control and how little we human beings really know about what we think we know and why we should be humble about the judgments of God. So the next thing that St. John Bosco wanted to know was if he himself was going to go to heaven. And if we were granted a vision like this of someone in purgatory, we would probably ask a lot of these same questions, I'm sure. And the bishop said, "You must hope." And St. John Bosco said, "Well, just tell me yes or no. Will I go to heaven?" And the bishop said that he didn't know. St. John Bosco said, "At least tell me if I'm in sanctifying grace." And the bishop said, "I don't know that either." St. John Bosco said, "Will my boys be saved?" And the bishop didn't know that either. And St. John Bosco got frustrated and he said, "I don't believe this. How can you be in a place of salvation and not know this kind of thing?" And the bishop explained that he could only know what God revealed to him. So St. John Bosco asked him if he had any advice for his boys, and I think it's worth quoting his answer at some length. He said, "They must see the world as it really is. The whole world is under the evil one. They should not let themselves be deceived by appearances. If they believe that worldly pleasures, amusements, and friendships will make them happy, then they will desire them, when they should rather keep in mind that all is vanity and affliction of spirit. Let them form the habit to judge matters of the world not by their appearances, but as they really are." So there is some advice from someone who has saved his soul. And he said that they should particularly guard the virtue of purity. And St. John Bosco asked him if he had any advice on how they should do that. And the bishop said four things: flight from worldly things, obedience, avoiding idleness, and prayer. In the case of anyone who has the gift of prophecy, whether it's the prophets of the Old Testament or the saints of the New Testament, it's important to remember that usually their gift is given to them not for their own benefit, but for all of us. Those dreams and messages that St. John Bosco received were warnings for us, straight from God. Let us not ignore them or treat them just as some interesting stories, but let us take them to heart. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.